The following is a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.
Well, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to the Sprint Car Show for Tuesday, January the 28th. On today's broadcast, we'll talk with Mike Thomas, the CEO of the Thomas Group. They're new owners of the Allegheny Speedway, formerly known as Tri-City Speedway. And we'll talk with Brian Carter, the CEO of the World Racing Group, about the upcoming 2014 World of Outlaws season. That's all coming up next here on the Sprint Car Show, brought to you by Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions, by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway, and by Coastal181.com, reading for racers. Just in time for spring, motorsports publisher Coastal 181 will deliver another great open-wheel book titled The People's Champ, A Racing Life. This autobiography of USAC Triple Crown champion Dave Darlin looks at his racing career from quarter midgets to sprint cars. The People's Champ is sure to be a hit with open-wheel fans about one of the sport's true class acts. To learn more, visit Coastal181.com or call them toll-free at 877-907-8181. Coastal 181, reading for racers.
Hi, this is Logan Shuhart. You're listening to the Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
And welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Well, for those of you who might be familiar with a number of our broadcasts from a few years ago, we did some race broadcasts from the Tri-City Speedway out there in Tri-City, Pennsylvania, out in the oil region of the state. And that was with the BRP Modified Tours. Unfortunately, over time, one thing led to another, and the track had been dormant for quite some time. Well, now it has a new lease on life. Mike Thomas, who is the CEO of the Thomas Group, is spearheading the effort, and they are bringing the track back to life this year. And Mike joins us from Western PA right now. I'd ask you to bring some warm weather from out there, because I know those Steeler fans are a bunch of rowdy people, but it's only 11 degrees here in central Pennsylvania, so I can't imagine it's much more than that out in the western part of the state.
Hello, Sean. No, we're showing about minus 15 right now outside, so I'll call your way for the warm weather.
Yeah, we might be having our tropical heat wave. Well, Mike, it's good to talk with you. It's been an ongoing process for you folks to resurrect a great racetrack. Tell us how this all came about, and what are the fans in store for when they return to what is now being called Allegheny Motor Speedway.
Yes, well, thank you first and foremost for having me on the show, Sean. I sincerely appreciate it. It came across my desk in the summertime, back in June of this year, the Tri-City Speedway, which is in Franklin, Pennsylvania. It's a high-banked, really fast half-mile dirt track. Would probably be on the auction block later in 2013. And I'm from Franklin, was born and raised, and then went off to college and eventually moved back to the area and set up a company here in the oil region, as you noted. And I went, you know, every week or every other week with my dad growing up. And Tri-City Speedway is a really special place. I've been to many tracks in the area, and I'm definitely a lifetime dirt track fan. But there's always something special about the speed and the quality of the racing and the surface at Tri-City and, you know, the amenities for the guests. And it just is a great place. So over the years, I've developed a certain knack for getting involved with properties that are in distress and getting a hold of companies that are a little bit weak and turning them around. So naturally, my interest was piqued for a lot of reasons. So to make a long story short, I figured out what the situation was there at Tri-City Speedway and took a trip down to visit its owner, who is Roy Hill of Richmond, Virginia, a nice fellow down there, and just laid it out for him and let him know that this would be a new venture for our company, but that I felt that I was very sensitive to a couple of important things about business and success and marketing, and I was definitely sensitive to what fans are looking for, and that I had an out-of-the-box idea I wanted to share with him, and if he could get behind the idea, I'd like to purchase the property and move full speed ahead in 2014. So here we are. We officially cleared the hurdle on Friday, and we're ready to jump in.
So you officially then own the property and the track itself?
Yes. The property was up to sheriff's sale, which was actually scheduled to happen here in a couple of weeks. The levies were lifted. The lien was satisfied. Everybody was made whole that needed to be, and a bit of a sour deal from a couple of years ago. And so now I'm on track to get our deal closed here shortly so that we have everything free and clear, but there's nothing else standing in the way. We are starting the process and definitely well on our way.
So fans will can be at peace of mind then, knowing that the track will be around for quite some time then?
That's definitely our intention. Looking long-term, our goals are pretty simple. Aside from the goals that we are setting for the experience for the fans and the drivers, which I'd be happy to talk to you about, I'd like to bring Tri-City back to the main screen in 2014. It's reopening as Allegheny Motor Speedway with a lot of exciting changes. If we have a successful year and we get folks to support us and come out and realize the value in Tri-City, there's a lot of developments and a lot of projects I would like to do long term. So we definitely are interested and capable of being in it for the long haul. It all comes down to, will folks return to us this year and can we stun them when they come?
So how much is the cold weather affecting the efforts that you folks would like to do out at the facility at this time?
Well, there's definitely a lot of work to be done, both on equipment and in the facility. So we're at a standstill in terms of doing any kind of major work on the vehicles. I actually spent quite a bit of time out there Sunday morning just going around and taking inventory of the different pieces of equipment and vehicles. There's several dozen there. They've all been sitting inactive since about 2010, maybe best case scenario, maybe a little bit longer. And so we just wanted to figure out what had juice in it, what was going to turn over, what's missing parts. There's been a fair amount of vandalism over the past couple of years to track, so a lot of these vehicles are missing parts and will require substantial work, as will some of the facilities. But we know that we're working against Mother Nature here, and we definitely have the plans and the crew and the resources to put it together once we can get past this deep freeze.
And Mike, what would you guys like to do in terms of the racing surface, upgrades to the grandstands, the press box area, announcing booth, VIP booth, and the lights? What's priority, and what is your vision for what a future look for Allegheny Motor Speedway will be?
Well, one principle that will be common across all of the decisions we make at Allegheny Motor Speedway is we're going to refresh it from top to bottom and make it absolutely modern, clean, and ready to roll. So in terms of the existing facility, we have plans to replace all of the seating surfaces. A lot of it's in really bad shape. We're going to refresh and remodel all of the public spaces, the bathrooms, concession stands, office buildings. We intend to finish off the camping area, which the previous owners had started, and put some amenities down there for folks that will join us for the weekend for some of our shows. And most importantly, the track surface was really legendary up to about the end of the 1990s and just the start of the 2000s. I distinctly remember one night sitting there as a teenager in high school with my dad, watching a driver named Bob Felmy set a track record for speed that was, I think it was north of 122, 23 miles an hour. And I also remember going back to the track in 2007 for a national sprint tour race, and Steve Kinzer, if I recall, set quick time. And I think the quick time there was about 99 miles an hour, and you could just see from sitting in the stands, the horsepower just gets sucked from the car coming out of turn two especially. There was a couple of ruts, and the surface had changed, and they really lost a lot of the speed and excitement. And by the time that Tri-City had got around to its last years in operation, I was there infrequently, but I was still there, and they really lost their ability to have two or three lanes of racing. So we've put together a team and have done our homework and our research on how to restore the track to the conditions it was back in the 90s, and it's going to involve a major overhaul and digging up what's there and redoing all the different levels and the foundation underneath the track. But when all is said and done, by the middle of April, we intend to have a new surface laid down, and then we're going to test that thing for several weeks straight. We're going to put a lot of laps on it, have different guys in, and fine-tune it so that the goal is by opening night of May 18th of this year, we have a track that is smooth, it's fast and tacky, and gives at least two lines of racing all the way around.
In terms of the surface, Mike, I'm trying to remember, was that a red clay or a brown clay surface back in the day?
It was. It's actually been both, as I understand it. The most successful clay that it had was kind of a mix between red and brown, and there was a little bit of sand involved with that. As the years kind of went on, it got a little bit away from the red and went with more just dirt from the property or local clay. It was a dark, dark brown. So we're looking to get it back to that mild red mix.
And now you mentioned May 18th is opening night. What nights will you guys be racing, and what will be featured on those nights?
Well, that's our out-of-the-box idea with Allegheny Motor Speedway. When I was considering the project and what I thought we could do for it to be successful, as I believe it should be, I decided pretty early on that I don't believe that Allegheny Motor Speedway can be anytime soon, if again, but definitely not anytime soon, a weekly racetrack. The economy is extremely challenged over in the western part of the state. I'm pretty sensitive to that because we have other businesses in the area, and I've been successful for a couple of years, so I'm very sensitive to what the economy is like. And, you know, the bottom line, Sean, is that there's several tracks running weekly, and folks just don't have the resources to be able to go and spend, you know, $9 or $10 or $11 every week on a show. But I was sitting out at a race at Mercer Raceway Park this summer, in the middle of the summer. It's pouring down rain. The All-Star Sprint Cars are there, paid, I think, $27 or $28, and the stands, looking around, were at least 90% full. And it dawned on me that, you know, I believe people would pay just a little bit more than a regular weekly event less frequently to see a first-class quality show. So our whole philosophy this whole time is that we're shooting for the best show we can possibly give folks as affordably as possible. So we've put together a five-night competitive series on the half mile that we're calling the Sizzling Summer Series. And what we're going to do for fans is there'll be there's a date in May on May 18th, then there's a date in June on June 15th, then we have July 6th, August 24th, and September 21st. On each of those nights, we're going to give you the drivers from the All-Star Circuit of Champions Sprint Cars. We're going to give you the BRP Modified Tour all five nights. We're going to give you the Fast Track Late Model Tour all five nights. And we're going to give you the Penn Ohio Championship Stock Car Series all five nights. Our goal was to give folks the cars that they want to see, which was undoubtedly in our market research, Sprint Cars and Modifieds. Give them the cars they want to see, structure the business and the purse so that we can get at least 30 cars in every division, which is our baseline goal, and give them a quality surface with first-class facilities, beef up the entertainment during the events. So after each night of racing, there's going to be what we call Skydance Fireworks Extravaganza, and it's going to be, you know, unbelievably choreographed firework performances as part of the ticket. There will be side stage concerts. We'll have flea markets and swap meets. We'll have RC car features. We are shooting for an environment that feels like the baseball field because we're trying to bring in not only loyal fans that had been to the track in the past, but also we want to attract families and a new generation of fans to the excitement of dirt track racing. So we're going to have the best names in the country there, nice full fields. We're going to pay them extremely healthy purses to keep them coming back. And then we'll pull this off five times in the summer. And a couple of the neatest features about it is that, you know, within each division, each of the five nights will accumulate points so that we'll crown a division champion after the five nights, and then any car in any division can win the title King of Summer. So it can be a stock car, it can be an all-star professional sprint car driver, but whoever accumulates the most points, and it'll be an equation that figures in, you know, passes, qualifying times, positions gained, things like that, will be crowned King of Summer, and they get to take home the title for the whole year with extra money and prizes, and hopefully it gives people something to remember and a reason to come back and join us all summer long.
What are we looking at in terms of general admission ticket prices, Mike? Have you set them yet?
Absolutely. Our goal is to keep it extremely affordable because of the area that we're in, and our goal is also to do everything we can do to make it a family-friendly opportunity. I know lots of folks and have lots of friends that have two or three or four kids, and it's not very easy for them to go out on a regular basis. So the first thing that we're committed to is that all kids 10 and under are absolutely free. There's going to be no charge for them. We want them to come. We want the place to be full of kids and families. That's what this sport is all about. And general admission tickets in the grandstands, $20. We'll give you all that in the show for $20.
That's pretty darn good. I mean, when you got the All-Stars, you got the Modifieds, you got the late models. I mean, that's for $20, that's not a bad price at all. We're talking with Mike Thomas, CEO of the Thomas Group, the new owners of Allegheny Motor Speedway. I have to say that a few times, Mike, because it's going to, I was so used, as I mentioned in the open, to doing the broadcast from Tri-City, it's going to take a bit to get the Allegheny Motor Speedway into the thought process here. So five dates, and as you project towards the future, do you see this as something where you can live with those five dates for a while and not go weekly, or could you see a slight expansion depending upon the car counts and the fans coming out to see these five dates this year?
Well, we're set up to run indefinitely, essentially, for 5 nights. What will dictate if we want to add more shows or to go weekly will be what the interest level is and can we keep a healthy crowd and keep pace. My gut tells me that we probably will never get to that point or not necessarily should get to that point. That's not the goal per se, because I think that as racing evolves and the economy evolves, and I mean, we all know the changes in the lifestyles of families nowadays, and we know that young people's engagement in the sport continues to fall off. So as the environment of racing changes, I think that the long-term solution is to give the biggest and the best shows less frequently to keep people more engaged and not go that way. Now, that's not to say that we wouldn't entertain that at all. I'm always open to ideas and always open to possibilities. And I can tell you, since we became public on Friday with our acquisition, I've gotten literally thousands of phone calls over the past 5 days. But I've talked to all kinds of different series promoters and car owners and folks asking for additional shows and additional attractions. What we'd like to do long term is, in addition to the half mile, continue to grow and operate there's an 8 mile kart track there that was very successful for many years. We'd like to bring that back right out of the gate, and we're giving serious thought long term. If we can get these 5 nights to be successful, it'll allow us to open the door for more development. We'd love to put in a quarter mile drag strip, for example. The group tried to do that in Venango County earlier, I think within the past couple of years, and weren't able to do it. So we have interest from that group wanting to work with us on that. We'd love to put in a BMX and a four-wheeler type dirt track and have events with those series. We'd love to have things like outdoor concert events and entertainment. It's a little bit outside of the box. We'd love to have things such as monster trucks and truck and tractor pulls. And we'd love to do a lot of these things. The facility has the space, and it definitely has the accommodations that can make people feel comfortable and feel like they're at a nice, clean, state-of-the-art facility. So it all comes down to, answer your original question, Sean, if we can make the 5 nights successful and if we can get folks to come out and support us, it opens the door to a wealth of possibilities. And I would really love to have an entire motorsports complex come to fruition there in the next 5 to 10 years if it's possible.
Website, when might folks expect to see that, and if they have any additional question, or if former advertisers at the old Tri-City Speedway would look to get back involved with the great Sunday night venue that it is, how can they reach you?
Well, our website is located at AlleghenyMotorspeedway.com. Our permanent site is actually done and is ready to be released here in the next couple of days once we shore up a few little details with some folks. But right now you'll see there's a nice little blip, a little TV commercial there to watch about the track. And if folks want to reach out to us and connect to our company, we have a great team already assembled that's working on it. We're also looking to probably hire between 60 and 75 folks coming into the summer for the operation of the Sizzlin' Summer Series. On the website now, even though that we have a temporary splash page, there's a contact form there. You can give us your name and your email and send us your message. It comes directly to our office. We have received probably 500 or more contacts from there since Friday. We have responded to every single one, and we're keeping every single contact, and that's the best way to put it together right now.
Well, Mike, it sounds like it's a great prospect for Western Pennsylvania and for the state of Pennsylvania to have a speedway come back to life, because too often we see these tracks shut down for various reasons, not only here but throughout the country, and never come back to life. So we're glad to hear that the Tri-City Speedway, now Allegheny Motor Speedway, is coming back to life, and look forward to that May 18th opening night. Again, the All-Star Circuit of Champions, BRP Modified Tours, Fast Track Late Models in the Northeast, and the Penn Ohio Stock Car Championship, all for $20. And as Mike said, kids 10 and under are free. Well, Mike, we want to thank you for your time and appreciate you joining us here on the Sprint Car Show to talk about the new Allegheny Motor Speedway. We wish all the best of luck and look forward to having you back on the show later in the summer to find out how the first season went with these five special summer sizzling race dates.
Well, thank you. I'm honored to be part of your program, and thank you so much for your support. We really appreciate it.
Sure thing. Mike Thomas, CEO of the Thomas Organization, joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. We will take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with Brian Carter, the CEO of the World Racing Group. That's all coming up next. You're listening to the Sprint Car Show on the Dirt Track Channel.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa, is the only sprint car museum in the world dedicated to promoting the future of sprint car racing and preserving the past. Located in Turn 2 of the world-famous Knoxville Raceway, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, except New Year's Day, Easter, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. Non-wing sprint cars, historic big cars, open-wheel roadsters, and wing sprinters are all on display in the museum, which also features a movie theater and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Make plans now to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum the next time you're in Knoxville, Iowa, or shop our museum store online at www.sprintcarstuff.com. The Hall of Fame and Museum is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, and from noon to 5 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays and Sundays.
Hi, this is Nicole Bauer. You're listening to The Sprint Car Show with Sean Wood.
And welcome back to The Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Well, we are in the midst of a deep freeze, but it's never too late to talk about the season opening for the World of Outlaws, which is rapidly approaching. And, of course, as you know, the Outlaws making headlines on various forms over the offseason with the announcement that Steve Kinzer will be making one final run at a points championship. And the return of the World of Outlaws for the first time in a decade to the Port Royal Speedway here in central Pennsylvania. To find out more what's happening and all the great news from the World of Outlaws, we bring in the CEO of the World Racing Group, Brian Carter, who joins us from a very chilly but not yet snowing Concord, North Carolina. Brian, always a pleasure to talk with you. I'd ask you to send us some warm weather, but you guys are almost as cold as we are.
Yeah, it's unseasonable for us. We've got trucks out back getting loaded to go to Florida, and I'm sure they're ready to go because it's about to start snowing here.
But obviously you're not loading them in short-sleeve shirts like you could probably be doing it this time, and it's a whopping 11 above zero here in central PA. So maybe one of these days Mother Nature will cooperate and we'll get some weather to get ready for racing. But you were telling me before we came on the air, you guys are actually racing Thursday with the UMP Modifieds. So does it seem like your off season gets shorter and shorter each year?
Shorter and shorter and shorter. I don't think there's an off season anymore. By the time we're building schedules and doing trade shows and lining up all of the events for the coming year, you go right back into it, which is a good thing. We'd love we're not in this business to sit idle, so we're on the gas all the time, and we start up here real quick this week.
But as you and I both know, every now and then it is nice to take a day or two off and forget about racing just for one day and sit back and relax. But it seems like it just somehow, some way keeps consuming our lives. And that buzz for the upcoming 2014 season kicked off when we were out there with you folks at the PRI trade show and Steve Kinzer announcing that he will make one final run at a 21st and unprecedented World of Outlaws sprint car title. Brian, what's the atmosphere been like with the World of Outlaws ever since Steve announced he was making one final run at a championship?
Well, you know, it's electric. It really has been electric. Even yesterday, we were in the downtown convention center at Charlotte at the NASCAR media tour, and Steve had a booth there with Tony and with Danica and Kevin Harvick and Kurt Busch all in the same room as their NASCAR, you know, the media from across the world were interviewing them. They were interviewing Steve, too. It is that sort of pervasive type of an event. So it's we're excited. We're really happiest, most for the fans, because they're going to get a chance. You know, we really want Steve to enjoy the last year running for the championship, and I know the fans are going to enjoy some of the things we have planned for them. So it's going to be electric. It already is. And hopefully everybody will get a chance to come out and see him and see what we have in store for them in the show to kind of give a tribute to Steve, give the fans a chance to do that, and then have a little extra for the fans, too, when they leave the show this year. They're going to go, wow, that was fun. I'm glad I was a part of that.
Anything in concrete yet in terms of what you're going to be able to do for the fans as Steve makes his tour around the country in his final chase for a 21st championship?
Well, it's gonna depend venue by venue. The tracks are gonna have the opportunity to do some things for Steve. We're gonna have some things in the program. Really have get the fans engaged with some events in the grandstands and then just some of the program. The four wide, we're gonna have a couple things. We're really gonna have some big announcements coming up around that. And it's gonna vary from track to track. You're not gonna see the same show at every track as it relates to Steve and his salute. So. One thing I tell you, it'll be engaging for the fans. It'll be something they don't want to miss. Kind of like the 3x4 wide we have here at World Finals. It's one of those, we're going to do it one time. It's going to happen at your track once, and you don't want to miss it.
That sounds pretty interesting. Of course, as the moniker has been coming over, pardon me, as the moniker has been over the past few years, all dirt roads lead to Charlotte, but as the World of Outlaws know, the World Championship leads right through central Pennsylvania, because anything can happen. When you look at out of your 82 dates, 11 of them occurring in central Pennsylvania, 7 at the Grove. And now this year, the week before the World Finals, you come back to Port Royal Speedway for the first time in a decade. Tell us a little bit about what it took to finally get the Outlaws back to Port Royal, and just how pivotal could that race be, not only in determining the points championship, but what if Steve is in the hunt for that championship at that point?
Well, I tell you, if he's in the hunt for that championship, it'll be something to remember. You know, Pennsylvania has always been a huge foundation for our schedule. You said, you know, there's a lot of racing in Pennsylvania, 9 nights in central PA. You had a Lernerville in there. It's another couple nights. So of the 88 we have confirmed, with 4 or 5 more that are coming, you know, that 11 nights is a huge part of that. And everybody knows those last few weekends through Pennsylvania, particularly at the Grove there at the end of the season, can have a real impact, and people were anticipation of Darren and Donnie duking it out, and Darren held his own really, really well. So it's definitely a place you've got to go and see, because it's an electric part of the schedule. And when you add that in to a racetrack that nobody has any data on, at least our travelers haven't for a decade, it's going to throw a real wrench in it. So I'm hoping that we have, you know, all we can hope for at the end of the season is we don't know who's going to win the championship until we get to those last few weeks of the season, and really keep those fans on the edge of their seat, not only for the racing, but for as they look at who's going to be their champion again. So to have Steve in that hunt, boy, that would be a dream come true for a lot of folks, including myself, to see that happen at the end of the season. And to have it happen at Williams Grove through the Port Royal now for the first time in a decade, and to finish that up at the finals, that'd be a dream. You know, that'd be a storybook kind of season for me.
And, of course, last year Fred Raymer stole the show in his final race in the National Open. He comes out and gets it. It gets the win after 28 tries. That was captured on CBS Sports. And hats off to the crew. They did a great job over those few races of showcasing the fans what we here in central Pennsylvania know about sprint car racing. What was the reception like for you folks in CBS on the Sunday night broadcast, and can you tell us what might be on tap for television for the fans in 2014?
Well, I tell you, I couldn't have scripted that whole weekend from Kreitz's win to Freddie's win on Saturday. You couldn't have written a better story for TV, and then to have us there with the CBS team and the team from World Racing Group Productions here to capture it all, and did a really good job of creating that story, at least as best you can for sprint cars on TV. CBS was ecstatic about it, and the fans' response to CBS was incredible over those last few Sundays, and really carried a lot of momentum through the off season. So I was pretty happy about being able to tune in on Sunday nights and being able to watch a little sprint car racing after the season was over. Kind of kept that rush going through the off season, as short as it was. But CBS is very happy, and I think as we wrap up our negotiations for this year, the fans have more to look forward to in 2014. I think we won't have to wait so long, since we've already got last year with Speed kind of going away. It left us kind of in the lurch early in the season. We'll have some early season programming. Hope to see that on air in the May-June time frame if things go well. Still got a little negotiating to do, but I think the fans will see some sprint car racing on the CBS Sports Network and earlier in the season, and then hope to really hit it hard again in the fall. So I think the fans have more to look forward to, and if we can only have every race turn out like it did at Williams Grove, it was absolutely storybook. It couldn't have happened better for me as a race fan, as a World of Outlaws fan, as just a sprint car fan and Freddie Raymer fan. It was just incredible for all of Pennsylvania, all of sprint car racing. It was incredible. It was really fun to watch.
It was indeed, and then sitting up in the press box, you just got that sense that something very, very special was unfolding as the night goes on. And I don't know what time the party was over, but I'm sure the gang over there in Turn 3, known as Beer Hill Gang, was partying way into the wee hours of the morning, celebrating Fred's win, and now he's going to be fielding a sprint car for his son at Lincoln Speedway this year. Speaking of Lincoln Speedway, they've added a second date, and it's also Brian, been a number of years since you guys have been to C1's Grove Speedway, Grandview Speedway. With the Grove having so many dates and that being so important to you guys and to the Grove itself, how are you able to add extra dates here and there? And might the fans in the future see an expansion where it doesn't hurt anybody but only helps the other tracks such as C1's Grove and a Grandview, where they will get to see the role of Outlaws back in action?
Well, you know, we talked about how many dates there are, and you know, everybody knows too much of a good thing is not necessarily a good thing. We've worked for a long time with Williams Grove, and they, like I said, they're a cornerstone of our schedule, and we've had to demonstrate to them as the series grows and gets stronger, and their events grow and get stronger, that we can actually leverage that with the other racetracks around the around the area and build even a stronger program. And that's what we've been able to do. We have to start off slow. We did that with Lincoln a few years back and demonstrated really to everybody involved that this isn't going to dilute the product. It's going to make it stronger. And the evidence of that supports adding another date and the expansion of the program to Port Royal. So I'm hoping fans, I know the good sprint car fans in Pennsylvania are going to support all those programs. And as they support those, will allow us to consider additional dates. If it supports it. If it doesn't, then we'll put on a hell of a show at the places where we're at and just keep working on making everything stronger. So my goal is to make sure we have strong, great events. Williams Grove is a cornerstone. Lincoln is becoming that, and hope to expand that cornerstone to additional tracks in Pennsylvania if it supports it.
Well, Brian, and I just want to correct myself, you did say it was 88, not 82 dates that are on the schedule then for the 2014 season, with 4 to 5 additional dates possibly being added, correct?
That is correct. 88 dates and 4 or 5 more we got in the works. Hopefully we'll be announcing those in the next few weeks or so.
All right. I want to make sure that I corrected myself on that. Well, Brian, as always, we thank you for your time and appreciate you taking a moment or two before you head on down to Florida to join us here on the Sprint Car Show. And we look forward to talking with you throughout the year. And I think it's going to be a great year for the World of Outlaws. And one of the other things I think is the buzz that's going to be surrounding Steve Kinzer is something I think is going to help the series for many years to come. So all the best for a very successful and safe 2014 racing season. And we look forward to catching up with you here in the near future.
Well, I sure appreciate you spreading the word and look forward to seeing all you race fans at the racetracks in 2014. Thank you for all your support.
Sure thing. Brian Carter, the World Racing Group CEO, joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. We will take a break and be back with more right after this.
The world leader in suspension technology, Penske Racing Shocks, has been providing custom-built, high-performance shock absorbers to all forms of racing for over 20 years. Offering only the highest quality suspension products, shocks are available in non, single, double, triple, and four-way adjustable configurations. All Penske Racing Shocks are hand-built, tailored to meet a driver's feel or car setup, and dyno-tested, ensuring the highest attention is paid to detail, consistency, and performance. For your short track needs, contact Dave Reedy at Penske Shocks at 610-375-6180. That's 610-375-6180. Penske Racing Shocks are available direct from the manufacturer or through many dealers worldwide. Visit them on the web at www.penskeshocks.com. Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions.
Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. We'd like to thank our guest, Mike Thomas and Brian Carter, for joining us on today's broadcast. We will be back with you again next week, February the 4th, for another edition of the Sprint Car Show. Right now, it's time to take a look at some news and notes from the world of sprint car racing. Tim Keating became the first American in 4 years to win the Grand Annual Sprint Car Classic in Australia, that taking place at the Warrnambool Speedway this past weekend. C1's Grove Speedway will open up the 2014 regular season for the 358-360s on April the 5th. They announced that in their release this week for dates. The 410s will be there several times throughout the year, the opener on March 23rd. There's been some rule changes, including the spec heads for the American Sprint Car Series. You can read about that on our ASCS page here on the Dirt Track Channel. USAC.com. USAC today mandated that the Hoosier tires will now be a 105-16 medium compound as the official right rear tire for the National, CRA, West Coast, and Classic Sprint Car Series that will take effect on May the 1st. The IRA Outlaw Sprint Series announced its schedule for 2014, 30 races taking place between the opener April the 19th at Oshkosh in Wisconsin through to Dodge County, the season finale on September the 27th. And congratulations are in order to Dave Darlin, the People's Champ, setting another record, 22 years now with a consecutive win in USAC as he won back-to-back winter challenges last weekend. This weekend, the challenge continues Thursday through Saturday. Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. Thank you again for joining us here on the Sprint Car Show on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Again, a reminder, we will be back with you on Tuesday, February the 4th, with another edition of our show. Our broadcast has been brought to you by Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions, by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway, and by Coastal181.com, reading for racers. For all of us here at the Dirt Track Channel, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Sean Wood.
This has been a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.